the first time once could remember, it seemed uncertain.
"I know people, you see," said once, simply.
The dragon continued to pin him with its gaze.
"If you are lying," it thought eventually, "you know I can't, not to you. And they really act like this?"
"Oh, yes, all the time. It's a basic human trait."
Once knew the dragon could read at least the upper levels of his mind. They resonated in terrible harmony, and he could see the mighty thoughts behind the eyes in front of him. The dragon was horrified.
"I'm sorry," said Once weakly. "That's just how we are. It's all to do with survival, I think." "There will be no mighty warriors sent to kill me," it thought, almost plaintively.
"I don't think so."
"No heroes?"
"Not any more. They cost too much."
"But I will be eating people,"
Once whimpered. He felt the sensation of the dragon rummaging around in his mind, trying to find a clue to understanding. He half saw, half sensed the flicker of random images, of dragons, of the mythical age of reptiles, and here he felt the dragon's genuine astonishment, of some of the less commendable areas of human history, which were most of it. And after the astonishment came the baffled anger. There was practically nothing the dragon could do to people that they had not sooner or later tried on one another, often with enthusiasm.
"You have the effrontery to be squeamish," it thought at him. "But we were dragons. We were supposed to be cruel, cunning, heartless, and terrible. But this much I can tell you, you ape."
The great face pressed even closer so that Once was staring into the pitiless depths of his eyes.
"We never burned and tortured and ripped one another apart and called it morality."
The dragon stretched its wings again once or twice and then dropped heavily onto the tawdry assortment of mildly precious things. Its claws scrabbled at the pile. It sneered.
"A three-legged lizard wouldn't hoard this lot," it thought. "There will be better things," whispered Once, temporarily relieved at the change in direction. "There had better be." "Can I," Once hesitated, "can I ask you a question?"
"Ask."
"You don't need to eat people, surely? I think that's the only problem from people's point of view, you see," he added,
his voice speeding up to a gabble.
"The treasure and everything, that doesn't have to be a problem. But if it's just a matter of, well, protein, then perhaps it has occurred to a powerful intellect such as your own that something less controversial, like a cow, might..."
The dragon breathed a horizontal streak of fire that calcined the opposite wall.
"Need? Need?"
it roared when the sound had died away.
"You talk to me of need. Isn't it the tradition that the finest flower of womanhood should be sent to the dragon to ensure peace and prosperity?"
"But you see, we have always been moderately peaceful and reasonably prosperous."
"Do you want this state of affairs to continue?"
The force of the thought drove Once to his knees.
"Of course," he managed.
The dragon stretched its claws luxuriantly.
"Then the need is not mine. It is yours," it thought. "Now get out of my sight."
Once sagged as it left his mind. The dragon slithered over the cut-price hoard, leapt up onto the ledge of one of the hall's big windows, and smashed the stained glass with its head. The multicoloured image of a city father cascaded into the other debris below. The long neck stretched out into the early evening air and turned like a seeking needle. Lights were coming on across the city. The sound of a million people being alive made a muted, deep thrumming. The dragon breathed deeply, joyfully. Then it hauled the rest of its body onto the ledge, shouldered the remains of the window's frame aside, and leapt into the sky.
"What is it?"
said Nobby. It was vaguely round, of a woodish texture, and when struck made a noise like a ruler plucked over the edge of a desk. Sergeant Colon tapped it again. "I give in," he said. Carrot proudly lifted it out of the battered packaging. "It's a cake," he said, shoving both hands under the thing and raising it with some difficulty. "From my mother." He managed to put it on the table without trapping his fingers.